Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And hear how wheat scab is infecting the soft red winter wheat crop in the southern part of Illinois, all as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, on Twitter at Commodity Week, or at David A. Dickey.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. July soft red winter wheat today at $5.87, a settlement price up 5 1/4. September at 5.96 1/4, 5.5 cents higher. In December at 6.17 3/4, up 5 3/4. March futures at 6.36 3/4, up 5 1/4 in the soft red winter wheat. The hard red at 6.97 1/4, 13.5 cents higher. That's actually the spring wheat. The hard red at 7.27 3/4, up 15 1/4. July corn futures 4.41 1/2, up 2 3/4. September at 4.35 1/2, up 1 1/2. December unchanged today at 4.39 1/2, and the March at 4.49 3/4 in the corn pit, down 1/2. May at 4.57 1/4 unchanged, and December unchanged for next year, 2015 contract, at $4.56 1/2. July soybeans at $14.09, up 10 3/4. August at $13.57 1/4, 8 3/4 higher. September at $12.49 1/2, up 5 1/2 cents. In November beans, $12.13, up 1. January futures, $12.20, up 1 1/4. Next year's November, the 2015 contract at unchanged at $11.90 1/2. Bean meal up $2.50. Bean oil, 45 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures in the nearby August contract at $145.2 1/2. That's down 70 cents for the day. The feeder cattle finished the August down the limit at $204.85, $3 lower. September at $205.57 1/2, also limit lower. And lean hogs in the July at $125.42 1/2, up 50 cents. The August down 77 1/2. This is Illinois Public Media. Let's check now and see what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract at $106.11 a barrel. That's down 25 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $3.10, up 0.9 cents. Ethanol futures at $2.07, 9.5 cents lower on the day. The spread between the two is at 10 4/10 cents wide, and the spread now at $1.05. That's as wide as I've seen it since we've been tracking it more than a year ago. Natural gas in the July at $4.66 4/10, down 4 5/10 cents, and diesel fuel for the day at $3.04 3/10 cents, up 2.5 cents. Gold futures at $1,272.40, up 70 cents for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. A slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 91 degrees, a 20% chance of rainfall tonight. That ups to 50%. We'll have mainly thunderstorms and showers after 8 in the evening, mostly cloudy to low of 72 degrees, a 50% chance of rainfall tomorrow. On thunderstorms, partly sunny in the afternoon, a high of 90 degrees with a south-southwest wind at about 7 to 9 miles an hour. And then Thursday night, a 50% chance of rainfall. Some thunderstorms in the area as well, mostly cloudy and a low of 71 degrees. On Friday, a chance of showers, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 88. Friday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 69. On Saturday, rainfall drops to 30% in the area, mostly sunny and 87. Saturday night, a continued chance of rainfall, cloudy and 67. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 86 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He is in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the marketplace is Jackie Vanks. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. An interesting day with wheat futures rallying. I take that it might be on the hard red winter wheat, some delays in the harvest progress, rainfall there, potential disease problems.
Oh, you bet. I mean, and soft red, you know, hard red, soft red, both are looking to have vomitoxin problems. And so, you know, what that ultimately does is brings pressure to us on the corn side eventually because it becomes seed wheat. But, you know, it's certainly not priced in at this point in time. I think the idea that we've got some of the early harvests going on, and, of course, the bushels are just not there. And so as we get further north, I guess we'll find out. You know, you've got to add to that the terrible weather that you've been seeing out in the wheat country. I mean, you know, Nebraska had a horrendous twin tornado the other night. Talking to some of our guys today, they've had really severe weather in a lot of places out there. And, you know, it's just been really in a big turmoil north of us. We're really fortunate because I talked to one of my guys out in Nebraska. They had anywhere from 7 to 12 inches of rain. One from South Dakota, 12 inches of rain. So this is not something that's very good for a wheat crop at all.
On the other hand, that much rainfall, as long as it doesn't continue to make sure that it comes down heavily on the marketplace on the corn, could produce a really good corn crop. We have some numbers. I think you've been doing some research on how good that might be and what kind of impact it would have on the United States and prices.
Well, yes. And, I mean, you know, we have to understand that this is I compared 94, 2004, and now 2014. They have similar crop ratings. That's what I was really looking for, was similar crop ratings and years that we had the potential and or did actually exceed the trend line yield. So, you know, if you look back in 94, Todd, we lost 24% of the futures price between June 17th and November 23rd, going from $2.77 a bushel to $2.10.5, in other words, a 66.5 cent loss. In 2004, we lost 40.6% of the futures price between June 2nd and December 2nd, we went from $3.22 down to $1.91 and a quarter. In other words, we lost $1.30 and three quarter cents. When you look back at 94 and 2004, both of them exceeded trend line. 94, we had 135 bushels. That was 2.7% higher than trend line. In 2004, we had 143. That was 12.2% higher than trend line. And, you know, if you take into account the improvements that we've seen, you know, just in the basic genetics, if we were to do that in 2014, that would project us out at a yield of 169.7 to 185.5, respectively. Now, mind you, you know, this is implications. So, if that were the case, it would imply that the price range for corn would be between 305 and three quarters and 391 and a quarter, and We got a lot of weather to go yet, but that just scares the heck out of me.
Well, that would not only scare you, but I suspect that 305 number, and we've heard that on the air here before at the home radio station, it's pretty deep. Is the idea here that the trade can get too bearish, or is this something that really could take place, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, just like anything else, the trade always can push it too high, and it can always push it too low. And so the only way I think we'd ever see something like a 305 would be an extreme move on the part of the trade. But, you know, the reality is this. If you look at the acreage report coming out at the end of the month, and it's pretty well held in a lot of places that we're going to lose probably 1.5 million acres up out of the Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan area. They probably picked up, you know, were able to plant the last 500,000, but that still left 1.5 million to go. So if you just took that off and you didn't think that any of the corn on corn that was supposed to go to beans actually went to corn like it did, puts you down at 90.2 million acres. Okay, that'd be 1.5 million less. The reality is, if you take 1.5 million from those guys, just off the face, when you look back over the last 3 years, it raises the national average from 165.3 to 165.8. then let's say that we look at the USDA saying those eight states that they follow are doing pretty darn well. So let's say they go to 166.5. That gives us a $13.83 billion bushel crop. That'd be down $125 million from where we currently are at. At the very same time, if we stay at 91.4 and we get 166.5, we end up with a 13.985. That's up $50 million from where we are. So, you know, the day of the report, everybody's just going to be waiting to find out what's going on. And now we add that to the stock situation. You know, I did a bunch of projections this morning on that for Bloomberg, and it looked, I came up with about $3.99 billion, using $4 billion usage in this last quarter. So, but we went into the quarter, you know, with about a billion more than what we had a year ago. On beans, on the other side, my ending stock came in at about $352 million. That was just using $564 million usage like a year ago this last quarter. That would imply that we'd only have $62 million left at the end, but that was not including the extra million that they said they were going to bring in. So it would leave us about $92 million. I suppose that's not too far out of the park, but it certainly makes a guy wonder, and it makes a person nervous. And so, you know, I still believe that from a producer's perspective, I've heard a lot of guys say, well, my crop insurance will take care of me. Well, you know, the one wild card the crop insurance has at this point in time is yield. How much crop insurance payment are you going to get if your yield does come in, let's say, in, we average 170 for the U.S. or 185. What does that mean for us down here? That's a lot higher average than that. So you may not get that crop insurance payment to add on to everything. So I just think it's a situation where a guy's got to really get down, work hard with the pencil, see where your break evens are, and protect yourself. And, you know, if you want to be bullish, buy some calls.
There was some good information this morning. Came from the EIA. Did you see that number that came out? Said that the last weekly report for the ethanol production set a record, and that's a new record since what? For the weekly production of ethanol since 2011, since December that year. So that number was pretty good today.
Well, yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty exciting, you know, from that standpoint that you have a record, you know, as of last week, that we had to average 103 million bushels a week to be able to get to the USDA's projection. So I'm excited about the fact that we had the record. Now let's keep doing it. That's because we're going to have to continue to set records to be able to make the USDA's projection for ethanol usage.
Do you think that the livestock and feed and residual number for the grain stocks will show better usage because of heavier weights of hogs, or are you not in that camp?
Oh, no. I'm definitely in the camp of us continuing to have good feed usage. You know, they dropped it $50 million on this last report. So they already took some things away from us. But I do think, you know, the fact that we're taking cattle to heavier levels gives us the opportunity, you know, to be able to not drop as much on feed usage, perhaps, as you would think was justified before. And the part that's interesting is, you know, when you look at hog production just keeps flying in the face of what's going on. You know, the production numbers that we're seeing do not match up with what the hog and pigs would have indicated. And so I think there's a big question in the background there, too. You know, I don't know if you ever go to the great roller coaster that they call the CME livestock market, but we were there again today. It was wild. I know this morning you asked me about it. Feeders ended up with five contract limit down and two only. Yeah. 1.5 and 1.15 off a limit, and just crazy. And most of this is long liquidation, you know, some poor technicals because we've had some push down, but I don't doubt we'll probably bounce back up, you know. And corn had a little bit of a positive day. Remember this morning we talked about that? I saw that comment a lot of places this afternoon. Well, feeders were down because corn had a good day. Well, corn was up, what, a penny? Or a penny? I mean, like, come on. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think it'll be wonderful to have it behind us so that we have a much better handle on what's going on. But I've heard so many people in this last week say, boy, I sure hope that we lose corn acres. I sure hope that the Iraq war brings more money into commodities. You know, hope is just not a strategy. It's sad to say, but that's, and I've had a number of guys say, well, you know, I'm in the hope stage now. I wish I would have done something. Now I hope it bounces. Well, I do too, to be absolutely honest with you. I think we've got enough problems in some places that we could get a bounce, and I really do hope that we do.
All right. Any final word from you before I let you go?
Well, I hope that everyone is making some good progress out there. I know a lot of guys are fighting weather, especially north of us. Other than that, just get a handle on those break evens. This is a tough time of year. You know, it's easy to get focused on what's going on in the field and be able to try and make believe that marketing isn't important.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us, Jackie. You have a great afternoon, okay?
You too. Thanks, Todd. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Jackie Banks is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. That's willag.org. You can find all of our programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between right there at willag.org. And today I posted into that website a combined Twitter feed for both David Dickey and myself. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. And David A., it's at David A. Dickey for Mr. Dickey, and I am at Commodity Week on my handle. In just a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds here, we'll take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now here's today's agricultural news. Hong Kong has opened its borders to U.S. beef. The U.S. and Hong Kong, the fourth largest market for U.S. beef and beef product exports, have agreed on new terms and conditions that will help expand U.S. beef and beef product exports. Effective yesterday, Hong Kong will permit the import of full ranges of U.S. beef and beef products as the World Organization for Animal Health granted the U.S. negligible risk status for BSE last year. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says this is great news for American ranchers and beef companies, and USDA looks forward to expanded opportunities in Hong Kong for the U.S. beef industry since all trade restrictions are now lifted. Well, USDA is moving forward with a PED vaccine. Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow applauds the USDA for its continued commitment to combating the spread of PED, which has impacted pork producers across the country. USDA has moved forward with a new vaccine that is expected to combat PED and has issued a conditional license for the vaccine. Stabenow says the unmitigated spread of the virus not only threatens the agricultural economy, but also has serious implications for the national economy, as consumers and businesses will all feel the impact of diminishing swine herds. She says the pork industry supports nearly 550,000 jobs across the United States and contributes some $34.5 billion to the U.S. economy. And finally, Chairman Stabenow also hosted a Grow It Here, Make It Here hearing for the Senate Ag Committee yesterday. Stabenow says more than 3,000 companies in the U.S. either manufacture or distribute bio-based products, meaning they create new products from American-grown ag crops like soybeans and corn, instead of using petroleum-based chemicals to manufacture products. She says this shift toward using biodegradable and renewable materials domestically grown displaces the need for foreign-based petroleum. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, the nation's wheat crop is suffering from too much rainfall. It's causing harvest delays in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the southwestern United States. And as you'll hear, the development of disease issues in southern Illinois' soft red winter wheat crop. Unlike the drought-ridden hard red winter wheat crop, the soft red winter wheat crop, grown primarily east to the Mississippi River, had a good growing season until the rains kept coming. Now it is suffering from a disease problem that will rob yield and premium, says University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley.
We have a lot of Fusarium head blight. This disease is also known as head scab. It's caused by a fungus known as Fusarium graminearum. And it's pretty severe this year in parts of southern Illinois. Some of my travels last week throughout southern Illinois, stopping at wheat fields, a lot of those fields I stopped at had over 50% incidence, which means that if you looked at half of the wheat heads that are out in that field, half of those would have been affected by head scab.
The disease pressure set in just about the time the soft red winter wheat crop flowered. Weather conditions were perfect, wet and warm, for the development of the fungus.
Conditions were really favorable for infection, and so unfortunately we do have a lot of disease out there.
A disease that is and will continue to cause the quality of the winter wheat crop to deteriorate. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I in Logansport, Indiana, the Climbers facility there. The folks at the Andersons are on the phone line to talk to us a little bit about the cash grain market for the afternoon. Hi, to who do I get the privilege of talking with today?
Todd, this is Patrick Kaufman.
Oh, hi, Pat. How are you today?
I'm well.
And farmers in the area are feeling not so great?
Good about the crop, not so great about the unsold inventory in the bin.
Old crop hurts, doesn't it?
435 is where we are tonight.
Yeah, how about your new crop bid?
New crop bid at 420.
All right, and what are your expectations over the next week or so?
The heat that we've had the last couple of days have been welcomed, and also we have a little system, and it looks like across the whole Andersons locations from Iowa, Nebraska to Ohio, we're rating, as we talk to the guys in those locations, the corn crop's about a 9, 8.5 to a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, and beans are coming in about 7.5 to 8, just on a general scale. Everybody feels fairly good about the crop. There are problems here and there, but for the most part, very good potential.
Great potential. How big do we think the crop is at this point?
First we have to determine acres. 165. The next 70 days, Todd, really are the
just
the tell.
Too early to say, isn't it?
It is the tell. The next 70 days, pollination, length, ear length. We're making ears or rows around currently without stress, so that's going to be ideal. The next 70 days really will be the tell.
On soybeans, what spaces look like in your area?
Soybean basis, $1.10 to $1.20 over the Q, over the August.
Right.
So
they're hunting big time.
Yes, but the inverse from the NOV to the Q was about a dollar.
So it was the change.
We're just making it up.
Yeah, so it was the change. All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate
you
being with us.
Thank you.
Made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Cherry Tart Day. Sweet cherries date back to prehistoric times in Asia. By the way, that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is more fiction than fact. Parson Weems attributed the anecdote to an aged lady who was a distant relative and, when a girl, spent much of her time who referred to George as cousin. Really, we cannot tell a lie. It's also International Picnic Day. In Europe during the 14th century, the earliest picnics were medieval hunting feasts in England, featuring hams and other baked meats as well as pastries. picnicking really came into its own during the Victorian age. Picnics, as Americans know them, date back to the middle of the 19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Edmund Ruffin died. He was a pioneer in the study of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin investigated the possibility of using lime to raise pH in peat soils to improve agricultural productivity. In 1892, macadamia nuts were first planted in Hawaii. In 1981, the first genetically engineered vaccine was announced by USDA. The vaccine, using gene splicing, was designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease. And in 1993, African honeybees killed a small dog in Tucson, Arizona, and were dubbed by the media as killer bees. Their original source was from crossbreeding with tropical African bees imported into Brazil for experimental work. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us to take up the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start with the hard red winter wheat, which rallied in part of the day. That because of disease pressure potentially due to rainfall on what was once a drought-ridden crop. What can you tell me about it?
Well, that seems to be the story every time we're having a really serious drought. It seems like when we go to break it down, it goes this way. And indeed, frequent showers and thunderstorms have been occurring and will continue to occur across portions of hard red winter wheat country. It doesn't look like the pattern will prevail too much longer, though. We are expecting to build in a little bit of a ridge of high pressure as we go into probably next week, and that ridge will help to suppress some of the rainfall potentials. It won't stop it, but we should have at least a lot lighter rain events and more warmth or more heat occurring on either side of the rain, helping to keep it relatively dry across the region. So another few days, and then I think we'll probably see some improvement occur across that area.
In the Corn Belt, will there be more rainfall, or does that heat spread into and dryness into the Corn Belt, too?
Well, actually, a little bit of both. We are going to continue with a fairly frequent occurrence of showers and thunderstorms for the next several days. Nothing too exceptional, but we are going to still see more of it. As the ridge of high pressure does evolve next week, it will bring some warmer conditions into the region. We're already fairly sticky out there now, so it'll get a little more that way. The ridge is not going to be an exceptionally strong one, and because of that, we will still have some showers and thunderstorms developing, if for no other reason, just from the feedback moisture coming up from the soil, and that will help to stimulate some instability showers during the afternoons and into the evenings, and that'll help to perpetuate a favorable environment for crop development. And it looks like the ridge position will end up shifting a little bit further to the west in time, more over the Rocky Mountain and High Plains region, leaving the northwesterly flow pattern around the front side of the ridge for the heart of the Midwest. And that should help to bring us some shots of cooler air once in a while and an opportunity for some more rain.
Oh, sounds like an excellent growing condition for the corn and the soybean crop in the Midwest. Let's turn your attention to other places across the planet. China has the second largest corn crop on the planet. It is put in the ground about the same time ours is here in the United States. How is it doing?
It is doing quite well. Also, it looks like the majority of the country got a very quick start on planting this year. It was warmer than usual coming out of the starting gates, and their soil moisture was almost always in very good shape to support planting as it advanced to the north. And today, we're still seeing well-distributed rainfall across a big part of the country and seasonable temperatures. There are some dry pockets that have evolved here recently across some east-central portions of China. We're watching those rather closely because there is a tendency for that same area to have a little bit of a drier bias during El Nino events. And since we're already ebbing in that direction, that we might fester into something a little bit more significant there. So maybe a ray of hope that maybe our prices will go upward again one day. But it does not look like a major issue for most of China at this point.
Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon, too. I'm Todd Gleason.